Hey everyone, first question this week comes via Instagram from Jordan M. I'm going to say shoe, and I apologize if that's completely wrong. If you could put a Christmas or holiday spin on any horror movie, which one and why? I'm going to say Gremlins. I would like it to be more specifically Christmas.
What? What?
I wonder if anyone was paying attention
Leave
to me when
alone.
I was talking.
He's trying.
Die Hard. I want more Christmas in Die Hard.
Oh, why are you starting a war right off the bat? This is the top of the episode.
Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon needs to be more Christmas. Rambo.
You keep this up, bud. Guess who's getting all of the Christmas homework this month?
Oh, not this week. We'll talk about that later. I'm anticipating it. I know it's going to happen. And I didn't have a good answer, so I decided to be a jackass. So we'll start with Xena. What do you think?
Okay, well, yeah. Hi. I have two. I really like this question. The first one, I'm going to say the Blair Witch Project, because I think that if they were also, you know, missing, I mean, obviously that would have just been, it's horrible for their families anyway, you know, without it being the holidays, but imagine it being like the holidays and then also there's snow on the ground. And then instead of finding stick figurines suspended from trees, there's bloody snowmen and footprints surrounding them.
Yeah,
you know?
Just random footprints,
right?
Or like little kid footprints,
yeah,
around their
tent.
Yeah, that's
creepy. Very creepy. And then the other one, because I'm obsessed with this movie, I really love Carrie. You know, prom is supposed to be memorable, but imagine if she did it at, I don't know, the winter Christmas formal, you know, once again, seeing snow with blood. Whoa. So, yeah. That's
back
just,
then, they were probably all wearing fur in some way,
right?
Shape, or
that's
form.
Spicy.
So then it's also an animal rights statement.
But yeah, I just thought it could be fun. So that's what I think.
How about you, Megan?
The Blob. I was just, the reason I was thinking of like how I felt like the Blob the day of Thanksgiving and even after eating all the leftovers a little bit. I also really love the Blob. And I was just thinking about how, like, you know, all of the Christmas movies are themed in snow, but, you know, Xena and I don't live in snow. We don't get snow. I feel like
I think we're supposed to get like 3 to 5 inches tomorrow here. And I'm not looking forward to it.
It'll be water.
All
yeah,
of it. You can have all of it.
We need some holiday movies set in kind of tropical regions. I don't think that the Blob could thrive very easily up north, being that ice is bad. But, you know, I feel like he could terrorize Florida. It'd be fun.
It would be.
I'm thinking the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Or Evil Dead, the original, mostly because of the concept of then there's that added snowed in isolation, Shining-esque type feel to it. Maybe he has a hallucination where all of a sudden there's a Christmas tree up and like a fire in the fireplace and everything's normal.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm talking myself into a new script right
now.
That's great. Trademark, copyright.
I'd watch that.
And I literally pulled that out my butt. That's what you get when I stall for 2 rounds. Speaking of stalling for 2 rounds, our second question also comes from Instagram from Javi Sticks. Javi Sticks?
Javi Sticks. Cool. I like that.
Sticks.
Sure, whatever it is, that's cool. What are y'all's favorite home invasion films? I actually have an answer for that one.
Uh-oh.
And yeah. No, a real one.
A real one. Go.
Gremlins. It is home invasion. Fine. My real answer is You're Next.
Nice.
Because I don't even know if I saw You're Next before... I remember you two talking about it. Or maybe I got it as a homework assignment. I can't remember. It's been a while.
There's been many movies, yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot. Yeah. I might go back and count one of these times how many. I mean, I suppose we're at 100 plus episodes. We've each, on average, watched 2 new ones. So we've watched, with certain overlap, somewhere in the vicinity of, or talked about 600 movies that we've watched.
That's so awesome. We're incredible people.
But yeah, You're Next. It's one of those beginning to end. It just works on every level. It's just, it's a fun home invasion movie. There's a lot of not fun home invasion movies, and that's one that I'm more than happy to turn. It's one that I keep telling my wife we need to watch together.
Oh, yeah.
And now that we have so much to catch up on as far as like TV and stuff is concerned now, but especially if we get Apple TV. Mm. But Your Next is definitely one that's on the list that I think she'd really love too. How about you, Megan?
A lot. I won't go through all of them because there's a lot. I've talked about this one before just because it genuinely creeped me out. That Sleep Tight.
Yes.
That one's a twist on, it's not really what you think of as your conventional home invasion movie. Mm-hmm. But it really makes my skin crawl, so it's effective. And then I wouldn't say the entire movie, but keeping in that same vein of like, this really creeps me out, the first 20 minutes of When a Stranger Calls Back is entirely around a home invasion, and it's so well done that it's genuinely creepy. Just a couple quick mentions. Alone in the Dark, that's now on Shudder, the 1982 one that has a surprising cast in it. That one's a pretty good home invasion / slasher. And then Tis the Season for Better Watch Out.
Yes.
How about you, Zena?
So like Megan, I do have a couple. So first I'm going to say Ghostland, a.k.a. Incident in a Ghostland. I know this movie has like a not so great backstory, but it is a great movie. I really enjoy it. It creeps me out. I love like the set design. The acting is incredible. And then also I have to say The Collector, because I love so much. It's just such a good time. And something that is kind of holiday-esque, Inside, the 2007.
There you go. Yeah.
That one's a really good time with that one. And yeah. And also, too, I want to just add one more. Hush. I was on Twitter. I remember when the movie first came out, there were some people saying how, well, that's not a home invasion. It's like, what? But yeah, that's
how
what
isn't it?
I don't know. So
her home is literally invaded.
John, why are you getting mad at me? I didn't say it. That was someone else.
I'm getting mad
Twitter.
Through you. I'm getting mad for you.
Okay.
What's the one I keep trying? I forget. It's with the blind woman and Alan Arkin is the bad guy.
Wait Until Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's good.
That was a good one, too. And it's got one of the best, like, jumping moments where a character jumps.
They're froggy. Movies.
They are very much so. Speaking of froggy, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone. The podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hello.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website, Real Queen of Horror, Infinite Love for the Genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hi.
Hi.
And I'm John. See, just like a flat, normal level, not high, not low, just...
I'm doing my best, John.
You're going to have to practice the blood rage. I've been repeating it around the house all, I don't know, the past month. I'm Todd. You know, when he's telling his mom which twin he is.
I'm John.
That's not cranberry sauce. That's John.
There's a t-shirt for you. That's not cranberry sauce. That's John.
That's going to be the title of this episode.
Put on a little holiday weight, and I'd like y'all to leave me alone about it. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe it'll be things that'll make you smile too. So Zena, what's been filling your heart this week?
Well, excuse my voice. I'm recovering. I can't yell like normal because I want to yell about this movie, but I can't. So I checked out this movie called All of Them Witches, a.k.a. Supernatural, from 1996 on DVD. I randomly purchased it, but it's been on my watch list for a long time, and it's never streaming anywhere, like at all. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I first heard about it, I knew nothing about it. I just saw the title and I'm like, well, you know, that's all I need. And so I ordered it. Anyway, I was gonna say where I ordered it from. You guys don't care. So basically,
people
something
do
strange.
Care. People want to know where to get the goods.
Okay, well, there's this website called DVD Lady, and I randomly came across it and I decided to like give it a go. So you don't really receive slip covers with it. You kind of it just I bought like I don't even remember, maybe like 15 movies, and it came in like this big case. And she just I don't know if it was a she. I don't know who owns it. It was just we'll call her the DVD lady. They just kind of like wrote on with a Sharpie, but it was like really cheap, like the stuff. And it's just like these were movies that are not streaming anywhere.
So just like used copies without the slip cases or whatever.
Yeah, but it's I don't even know if it's used, you know. It might have been burned because there's a way that you can get it digital. I don't
Getting all
know.
piratey, maybe. Let's not throw
I
in
hope not,
accusations for
but
this lovely possible woman.
yeah, I hope not. But you know, just know, guys, I paid. So there you go.
Oh,
But yeah, it was just I decided to give it a go, and it took about 3 weeks for them to arrive, you know. So I ordered it a while ago. Anyway, so this movie, All of Them Witches, basically there is a woman who witnesses her best friend get murdered right at her doorstep. And it completely traumatizes her. But then she starts to realize that there is something really weird going on in her apartment building, but also just in her apartment in general. People are acting strange. She's seeing a lot of delusions and everything. So, but yeah, this is a Mexican film, and obviously it came out in the 90s. It is a very beautiful film, like the way like the art, the cinematography, like the way it's set up, like even like the direction of it. It has nice pacing. It kind of reminded me of Rosemary's Baby in some ways.
All of them
But yeah,
witches.
pretty much, yeah. And so obviously I won't give it away, but it is very much a slow burn, and you don't really know if she is losing her mind or if stuff is really happening. And I'll leave it at that. But it was like a really nice watch. And again, like I like when films explore with like witchcraft and voodoo, and you know, I'm gonna be there 100%. So that's a yes for me. And then next I watched Christmas Tale from 2005 on Apple TV. In Spain, Christmas 1985, five friends make an unexpected discovery in the forest. A woman dressed as Santa Claus, and she's trapped in a hole in the middle of nowhere. So this is a part of like a TV series, and Paco Plaza, he directed it, and I just love him. I'll watch anything that he directs or write. But yeah, you know, I'm trying to also get into the Christmas spirit, and this was a bad idea because it's very bleak. This
It's
movie
so
is.
mean.
It's very, very mean. And the creepiest thing that, well, it's kind of creepy, but it's kind of like, hey, that's pretty cool. Well, obviously, you know this, Megan, because you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Obviously, you just said. So I like how they don't show the adult faces, minus the woman in the hole.
All
And
right.
that's just really like a cool approach, because even when you see the police officers, or that's a scene with police officers and they don't show it, but it's not done in a very obvious way. It just kind of like blends. So that's really cool. But yeah, if you don't mind like a vicious movie that's full of surprises, I think you may enjoy this one. But I don't know if you should watch it if you're trying to get into the Christmas spirit. That's just me
I mean,
with
it
that one.
definitely it, you should because it's like the whole be good for goodness sake, Santa's watching type
That's
scenario.
true.
Like
Yeah.
these kids do some mean things
Oh,
that
they're terrible.
karma is necessity there.
Oof.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm gonna go.
Okay.
Was like, I threw it to Xena right away, and we're just going back to the old thing. No, I'm gonna go.
Okay,
Mine.
go.
Okay.
I started out by watching 1993's Kronos on HBO Max, the Xena pick.
Yay.
A mysterious device designed to provide its owner with eternal life resurfaces after 400 years, leaving a trail of destruction in its path. All right, Xena, why this one?
Because I love it.
Which I
That's.
feel like we've talked about a few times on the podcast before, yeah. Yeah, this one was. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. It
Interesting.
felt like a very unique blend of genres.
The Guillermo del Toro way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very kinda. Fairy tales.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of that old gods type feel that he likes to play with, a little H.P. Lovecraft style, like with the device itself and the concept and then like the repercussions. Did not expect Ron Perlman to be in it.
It's always in his stuff.
Well, and I realize that. But at first I was kind of like, okay, a reader. I'm like, but it's not. But it is. Like, it's a little bit of a reader. It's like half a reader.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting mix. Like, there was just a lot going on in it that was, like, unexpected and endearing and sad and scary. Like, it is horror, but it's horror, I feel like, in the vein that Guillermo del Toro is really good at treading. Like, it's horrifying aspects and supernatural or science or sci-fi aspects within just a really well-crafted story, frankly. You know, you see something like this, and it's like, I get how Shape of the Water could have come from this guy. Like, when this was, you know, he's not just Hellboy. He's not just Pacific Rim. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's a storyteller. It's just, he was a storyteller with a big budget with those other movies. Was Pan's Labyrinth must have been a pretty big budget.
Yeah.
I would imagine, and which is just fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah, I liked it. It was just very unexpected. It was hard for me to kind of get a feel of, for what I was watching, I think, which in itself is like its own like art form, because it's not like, okay, this is what I'm going to watch. This is what I'm going to see. It's expectation. It was just kind of like, oh, there's a lot happening here that I'm not entirely tracking all the time, but I'm pretty sure that I am. So no, I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I don't love it as much as you do, but I don't know if anyone does.
I know a lot of people that love it. It's just a magical movie.
I just mean as much as you do. Okay. Like, if other people are 10, Xena's 11. Like, she turned the amp up just that little bit more for the enjoyment. I'm like a 7 or 8, which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
For me.
That is good.
Now, getting closer to the 11 for me might have been 1983's The Deadly Spawn on Shudder, Megan's pick. Alien creatures invade a small town and four teenagers, along with a young boy, attempt to escape from them. Thanks, IMDb. All right, Megan, why this one?
Because sometimes you just need a monster movie where the monster nom-noms people.
You literally, there's got to be a YouTube video somewhere of someone just inserting a nom nom sound just to this creature who's essentially Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors, except more tentacly.
Yeah,
just going like op, 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 op. Like, it doesn't really make it, the little versions kind of squeal, but it's just this kind of slow moving just gradual monster going on. The boy in this, I didn't track anyone's names of what was going on.
Boy is
the
great.
Boy in this, he handles what's going on through that entire movie so chill.
He's a monster kid.
He is, until the end. And then he's like, yeah, I guess it was too much.
Yeah, but you know, if you want an ally who might help you survive, get a monster kid or a horror fan. They know what they're doing.
I got the feeling that like the person who wrote this film had just heard about this thing called the scientific method and decided to use the term scientific method over and over again in his script for the smart people.
It's very DIY regional horror, but the, you know, the creature effects are really well done for what it is.
The creature effects, there is specifically like a skin coming off a face effect.
Yeah.
That's really good. Like, it is. Like, it's really good effects. It's just very 1980s acting cinematography horror.
And you had a blast with it.
I absolutely did. Almost like pretty much right out the gate, I was like, oh, this is going to be the best kind of bad.
You terrible.
I was like, I have no personal investment in any of the characters. Go.
Go. Get nom-nommed.
Yep. The only feeling I have is joy for the next, like, 80 minutes.
There you go.
So, yes, I did enjoy both the picks. Boy, are they completely, or two completely different feels as far as your picks are concerned.
I do like how Zeta and I throw some interesting double features at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about like being a scheduler for double features.
We got this. Hire us.
There you go.
We do.
What'd you watch, Megan? Oh, and I did finish up Cabinet of Curiosities.
Oh, okay.
Which I highly recommend across the board. We finished up watching The Murmuring, I think is the last one. With the, which I tell you what, I was watching, boy, big feels in that last episode. But then also there's two genuinely creepy as hell scenes in it. In what's actually a pretty heartwarming story. But there's two scenes where I'm like, that bothers me. There's a whistling scene that I'm like, that is so unnerving. But yeah, so if you guys haven't watched Cabinet of Curiosities, there's a lot of good actors. There's a lot of really cool stories. And I'm almost positive that we went to a restaurant, like the Panos Cosmatos episode. If that were a restaurant, we went to that on Saturday.
What? This is amazing. Like why didn't we get any photos, John?
I was just like going to ask it.
I might have been like super drunk.
Yeah, but you could still drunk photo in a conversation pit.
I could have. I was drunk and full and happy, and I don't take pictures when I'm happy. I enjoy happy.
Somebody's like, all right, let's note this. Photos only when miserable. Got it.
Oh, man, we could deep dive on that one with me all day. But instead, let's talk about what Megan watched.
Yeah, I don't know. This might be more exciting. I have been deep in for your consideration screeners lately, so I needed something that was just, I don't want to say mindless because it's not mindless, but a short series, Chainsaw Man. It is an anime that premiered this year. It's currently on Hulu. I think it's on multiple platforms. Like, it'll debut on Crunchyroll, and then the subtitled version is on Hulu shortly after these episodes air. I think it's only maybe 8 episodes long this first season. It's 7 are available right now. Anyways, it is this gory anime series following a betrayal. A young man, he's left for dead. He's reborn as a powerful devil-human hybrid after merging with his pet devil and soon enlisted into an organization dedicated to hunting devils. So it's, you know, it's kind of, it's funny, it's gory, it's very horror-esque. He literally has got a chainsaw come out of his head with, like, he's got sharp teeth when he transports. His arms are chainsaws. And then he just, like, cuts into these giant monster things of all kinds, like a giant tomato with a billion eyeballs and, like, zombie kings and all of this stuff. So, you know, if you just want a quick, breezy, good time full of gore, Chainsaw Man is a must. And then, you know, speaking of for your consideration screeners, I did revisit Nanny. I watched it earlier this year. This was January now for Sundance. So it is finally out in select theaters now and will be on Prime Video on December 16th. It is, it follows immigrant nanny Aisha. She's piecing together a new life in New York City while caring for the child of an Upper East Side family. She's forced to confront a concealed truth that threatens to shatter her precarious American dream. This movie is, I would say, it's probably a little bit in the vein of something that Guillermo del Toro does, which is kind of like a genre bender. There's a lot of drama with her. She's trying to save up enough money to bring her son overseas. She's trying to deal with these rich parents and, you know, while raising their child, essentially. There's a lot of folklore, you know, Anansi the spider, the Mami Wata, like mermaid kind of thing. There's like all of these like magical realism elements. It's really well done. And then it turns into a complete utter gut punch. Like, this is one of the few that left me crying by the end of it. So Yeah, I went from...
Sounds like almost like Neil Gaiman-esque.
A little bit. I think it's, you know, it's definitely like in the realm of horror, you know, with the... But merging kind of regional folklore into it. There's some definitely unsettling sequences. There's... It's definitely... It's going to put you through the emotional wringer. So I went from, you know, like happy, breezy anime to like, man, this is heavy, but so moving and wonderfully done. So, yeah. That's what I did.
Awesome. All right, before we move on, what did we watch and how do we watch it?
I checked out All of Them Witches or Supernatural on DVD and A Christmas Tale on Apple TV.
And I watched Kronos on HBO Max and The Deadly Spawn on Shudder.
And I watched Chainsaw Man on Hulu and Nanny, which is going to be on Prime Video on December 16th and currently in select theaters.
Nice. And I don't need homework. Because there's a couple of things that I've been meaning to dig into.
No.
And I will be digging into them. Homework next time.
Okay.
You guys can dump all the holiday crap on me you want.
Oh, begrudgingly.
I mean, you kind of got started. Kronos is New Year's.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
When he goes to they go to a New Year's
party. Oh, that party. Yeah. I was wondering what that was. At first, I thought it was supposed to be New Year's, but it said that it was like the 1 year anniversary of something. I thought it was just like a celebration.
It's also their anniversary. Yeah. Like the couple. Okay. Yeah. So
that's what I missed. Yeah. I was paying attention to what was about to happen on the bathroom floor.
Imagine walking into that.
I mean, I'm not saying Ron Perlman had the wrong reaction. Enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Inspired by true events, Universal's thriller Cocaine Bear is on the way next year from director Elizabeth Banks. And the official poster just released. It indicates that the marketing for this wild thriller just roared to life. Let's see how many puns I can pack in. it's been a while since we talked about Cocaine Bear, so I'm glad that it's coming back into the fold here. The movie is inspired by true events that took place in Kentucky in 1985, and it was written by Jimmy Warden. Phil Lord and Chris Miller produced. The basic gist of the story is that a 175-pound black bear was found dead from an overdose after ingesting massive amounts of cocaine dropped into the woods by a drug smuggler. The movie finds an oddball group of cops, criminals, tourists, and teens converging in a Georgia forest where a 500-pound apex predator has ingested a staggering amount of cocaine and gone on a coke-fueled rampage for more blow and blood. Nice. This cast is like incredible too. Everything about this movie is like, could you just get in my eye holes already? Carrie Russell, Ray Liotta, Alden Ehrenreich, O'Shea Jackson, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson star in the movie. Brian Duffield is also on board to produce. You should be familiar with that. He's behind Underwater and Spontaneous. I just, you know, I love that the tagline on this is like, get in line, like a line of cocaine, if you look at the poster, which is like this crazy.
Yeah, it's like a bear made out of coke.
Yeah. But
at first I thought it was like a Sin City poster. I'm like, that's not Shadows.
It looks, yeah, no, it's a wild looking poster. But you know, the press blast that they sent out was like, do not coke the bear. I love that. I want all of the puns. I need this wild 80s cocaine bear. So, yeah, there's that. I'm very excited about this. And then, you know, we got to keep the crazy animal attacks going here. So Odin's Eye Entertainment announced that Smile's Caitlin Stacey and Evil Dead's Lou Taylor Pucci have joined the cast of Jonathan Oefterheide's Devil Inside. In the vein of 28 Days Later and It Comes at Night, the film explores the what-if question of a cross-species contagion. In this case, from a Tasmanian devil, the last of the marsupial carnivores. The duo will star alongside True Blood and glorious actor Ryan Kwanten. In the film, Stacey plays the role of Eva, a young virologist who helps the local park ranger research the Tasmanian devil, facial tumor disease, a contagious cancer that has wiped out nearly 90% of the population. But when her husband, Alex, played by Lou Taylor Pucci, is bitten by a sickly stray dog, Eva suspects the virus has mutated across species and is causing violent outbursts in the hosts. Infection soon spreads through the locals, and Eva must choose between saving the man she loves or the rest of humanity. The film is currently in pre-production with release planned for quarter four of 2023. So yeah, that sounds insane. And then last but not least, Sean Hamill's excellent debut novel, A Cosmology of Monsters, which is a really fun title to say, is getting a small screen adaptation, being described as an elevated family drama. A Cosmology of Monsters follows the Turner family, who operate an immersive haunted house experience, but begin to realize real monsters are at their door. Caitlin D. Friars, who is behind Wynonna Earp and Private Eyes, is creator and executive producer and will work with Saloon's VP scripted content Melissa Williamson on development. The book was published in 2019. It's a heartbreaking fantasy horror tale of a family torn apart by very real threats we can all relate to, with a supernatural backdrop. Words, man. Monday. The adaptation is supposed to be an 8-part series.
Nice.
Wait, I have news. Oh. I have news. It's not anything for me, but I just really love the show. So Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin. Guys, there's going to be a second season, and it's called Pretty Little Liars, Summer School Season 2.
Oh, OMG, don't play with my heart.
I'm going to have you each week watch an episode.
You don't know.
I know. That's
Vito.
Literally where my head went.
But yeah, I had a lot of it was so much fun because I told you guys this before with, you know, the regular Pretty Little Liars, like some of the situations they would get themselves into, it just sound like that's a horror movie waiting to happen. So when they brought like the horror, it was just like pure slasher. There was like people getting their head, literally someone got their head chopped off. Like there was just blood, like this pig's blood. Like, I don't know. There's just everything in this series. It's so wonderful. I'm so excited.
Well, there you go. Pretty Little Liars Season 2 coming at you.
And John. It's coming at John.
No,
he doesn't know.
Yeah, it's coming.
I will bob and weave. You got to catch me first.
Nope.
You got to dig your way through the snow to find me. All right, listeners, your turn. Can you bear all of Megan's puns?
Yes.
Are you hoping that the sequel to The Devil Inside is called The Honey Badger Inside like I am? Or don't you give enough? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040 and let me know if that reference went right over your head like I assume it did to everybody, because I'm old.
Honey Badger, Remember's
also
don't
in the show
up.
Notes. There we go. I got one. That's all my humor's for. It's for one person. One chuckle. That's all I need.
Success.
Feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena's going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in on what's appearing soon that we should be watching so she can take a break and rest her voice. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
I'm trying. So, besides from Bloody Disgusting TV and Screambox, it's, you know, we can say it's officially holiday season and it's a magical time of the year as well. So, first up on Thursday, the 1st, from Travis Stevens, we have A Wounded Fawn. This would be hitting Shudder. I don't know why I said it like that. I was going to start singing, but. So a serial killer brings an unsuspecting new victim on a weekend getaway to add another body to his ever-growing count. She's buying into his faux charms, and he's eagerly lusting for blood. What could possibly go wrong? Then on Netflix, we have Troll. Deep in the Dover Mountain, something gigantic wakes up after 1,000 years in captivity. The creature destroys everything in its path. Ooh, this sounds fun. And then on Shudder as well, Nightmare on Elm Street collection. So 1, 2, you know, Freddy's coming for you. Yay. So basically you'll be able to check out the original film from 1984, as well as Freddy's Revenge, Dream Warriors, The Dream Master, The Dream Child, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. And Wes Craven's New Nightmare. So if you are a fan of the series and you just like, hey, I want to rewatch it, you'll be able to check it out. But then also something that it's not new, but it's a part of Shudder's Unhappy Holidays collection. I just love like each month they give us something magical. Night of the Comet will also be available on Shudder, which is always a good time. And then on Tuesday the 6th, we have The Leech. This one is currently available on VOD, but it'll be available on Blu-ray. So a priest welcomes a struggling couple into his home around Christmas. However, his act of kindness soon becomes the ultimate test of faith when he realizes something is wrong. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. Okay. And that's all.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at hauntedmeg. Xena can be found on our own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at bedisgustingpod, or drop us an email at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. I'm John.